Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, A Wonderful Approach. This is your host, Mama Seventh, and I am so glad to be here doing radio this Wednesday. For most people in the world, I guess just in the U.S., we're all spending time getting ready for Big Turkey Day, whatever, even if it is. I asked a couple of people, I said, are you cooking? They're like, no, I'm an eater, not a cooker. I said, oh, I get it. So I've had a wonderful week of speaking with people, finding out, you know, what's going on in their life, how are they going to enjoy this season in the middle of COVID. Some of the restrictions are still in place, and how all this is going to work. So I'm very, very excited. I love hearing stories. I love to kind of watch people reminisce. I enjoy, you know, walking down other people's memory lanes as I walk down my own. So I was like, you know, tonight I love gratitude. We always have to maintain that attitude for gratitude. But I also like to kind of talk about those family traditions because every family is different. So, you know, now that we are, I've been up probably since about 4:30 this morning working on shrines, getting this together, getting that together, trying to get the ancestral dish ready and the house. And it's been a lot, but it's been so much fun and enjoyable. I enjoy entertaining and looking forward to, you know, seeing family I haven't seen in a while and everything else like that. So it's been a long day. Promise it to be a long night, but this is what we do this time of year. I've got a chance to share some wonderful recipes and everything else like that, so it's been absolutely wonderful. Last week's show, we had a power pack last week. Last week, we had the opportunity of speaking about kindness, and, you know, I know everybody's like, kindness? Yeah, it was kind of an important show. It was an important show because we really got a chance to spend time looking into what is kindness, what makes kindness, you know, how important that is. So we spoke about the power of kindness. And as with each show, I do with pen and paper because I'm taking notes. I'm always learning. And one of the powerful things that came about was said by one of our young people, and she said, it's hard to understand, appreciate, receive kindness when, you know, you're not being kind with yourself. And that kind of set me back for a second because most people know I am a tender heart. I absolutely I'm compassionate. I care a lot. And the idea of someone not being kind with themselves, it just kind of, it don't sit right with me, you know, because I know we'll have a hard time receiving that. You know, how can anyone else be kind to you if they don't see you doing it first? And so that really rocked me for a whole week. It just sat on me. And I really had to mentally process, how do you create kindness for yourself within yourself? You know, what does that look like? We're always talking about self-love. We're always talking about self-worth. We're always speaking about those things. But how do you put action behind it? And how do you put that action in for yourself? I mean, man, it's easy to be kind to ducks and children. You know, it's easy to be kind even sometimes, you know, to a stranger. You know, someone who looks like they're down on their luck and, you know, just trying to be kind to someone. But you, the one you look in the mirror to, the one you go to sleep to and wake up to, you, that you, how do you show kindness to that being? And so, I mean, that created a whole other dialogue for me. And, you know, anything I think about longer than 5 minutes, I got to write about it because I have to really write and understand, okay, so what are you saying? What are you saying, Seven? That we have to start with ourselves first, and I always believe that. You know, when you back in the day, we had malls. we'd go into this big building and look at all these shops. Now we have Amazon. But anyways, back when we had malls, there was this big picture that would show tell you where all the shoe stores were. That's where I was going. And I could not navigate that without this red dot in the center. And the red dot always says, you are here. So without that first point, I didn't have anything else to go by. I would be completely lost with all that information. I'm still lost because I don't know where I am. I don't have a reflection. I don't have something to push off from. Well, that's what not having the kindness within self does. Because if you don't have it within you, there's not a point of reference. You know, so I imagine how silly I am asking you to respect me and you don't respect yourself. Imagine how incredibly, you know, out there, just totally non-existent I may sound to someone when I say you got to love yourself. If they've never felt love, if they've never had a reference for love. So, you know, we have to really begin to see where we are. That's why so much of what we do at A Wonderful Approach is about self-development. It's about self-reconciliation. Because until we have that place for self, we don't have anything. We don't know nothing. So we have to get that place first. So that was the power of kindness. If you didn't get a chance to hear it live, and it was live, if you didn't get a chance to hear it live, just go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page, or you can go to awonderfulapproach.com, and that will you can see the listing of the radio programs. And we have some wonderful callers calling, giving us that information. I'm so happy about that because I don't have to do everything. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. We're going to be getting our co-host on. Getting our co-host back in circulation, all of this, it makes us wider, it makes us better, it makes us more versed, it gives us different angles to think about, and that's the truth, different angles. So, yeah, that was a wonderful show. And then today is going to be a fun show, and it doesn't have to be all giggles, okay, because some family traditions may bring up thoughts of, you know, the past, may bring up thoughts of those that are no longer with us. That's fine. You know, it's a spiritual program. And you'll find that even when we have our fun shows, even when we get to talk and brag and talk about our recipes or whatever, still has spiritual implications because we're spiritual beings. So that's what tonight's show is. Tonight I want to talk about family traditions. I was speaking to Chief Redtail, and we were going on, you know, he does a lot of his indigenous studies, and I was asking as a highly political indigenous person how he felt about Thanksgiving, because I love Thanksgiving. It is my absolute favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving more than my birthday, okay? This is the most wonderful time of the year. This is it for me. And so we were debating back and forth, what about this, what about that? And really what came about was Thanksgiving has turned into more of a family tradition than necessarily going into the pilgrims and Indians and, you know, we have evolved out of that scenario, that false narrative. You know, I don't believe anyone believes that's how the story went. No, I don't believe that. At the same time, add a couple hundred years to that, where are we now? Well, what does it mean? You know, has it slipped into just commercial, a capitalist, you know, holiday? Does a holiday have to have high level spiritual meaning or political meaning, or does it have to, you know, just what does this day mean? And I think if I ask 10 people, I'll get 10 different answers, and I want to hear them all because this is going to help me to understand, you know, more about my favorite holiday. I already said it's my favorite holiday. So that means I don't, you know, you can say, oh, this was built on the backs of. I'm like, that's not what it means to me. You know, if you say anything less than a celebration of food, I'm like, nope, that's not what it means to me. That's not what it's for. So this is what this is for about. That's what this show is about, family traditions. And it doesn't have to just be Thanksgiving. We're doing this on the eve of Thanksgiving. But if you have a family tradition that you don't mind explaining the why, how did this come about? You know, who made this up in your family? You know, what special foods? Because, you know, the Abdullah women have been cooking for days now. And so all of this is lining us up so that we can get ready for our big day tomorrow. So this is what we're doing today. I'm so happy to be doing it. And if you want to share, just happen to share your favorite food and why, that's all good too. I just want to know, I want to be invited into your tradition. I want to be invited in. Let me know if you're traveling. COVID has a lot of people grounded, you know, where they're not getting in planes, you know, don't want to take this risk, don't want to take that risk. And I'm not knocking you. Tell me what you would be doing and tell me what you're going to do to substitute. Because I think there's going to be quite a few people that are like, hey, I don't have anything to do. I don't have anyone to be with. You know, if you don't mind driving to middle Georgia, you know, we'll have plenty of food. But, you know, this is what we're working on. And I just wanted to kind of open it up for family. Let's spend some time talking, thinking, building, just enjoying each other and enjoying each other's downtime from work. Downtime from work. And also, you know, as much as I love to focus on the good and have a great time, we also got to talk about how some people are taking it hard this holiday season. Holidays are not necessarily a fun, happy-go-lucky time for everyone. And so, you know, we're going to talk about what we can do about that too, so that we can make sure the family traditions that we are honoring are positive ones. And the family traditions that are not so positive, let's kind of, you know, work on them to change them, erase them, remove them, whatever we need to do, okay? So we're going full cycle on this. I need your help. I need to know. I'm interested. On one hand, I'm interested. On the other hand, I want to know. You know, I need to know and I want to know. So, of course, if you'd like to join the conversation, all you have to do is press 1. That lets me know on the switchboard, hey, I'd like to join in. I want to share my tradition. You know, this may sound strange, you know, whatever it is, let's share, okay? And I don't have to be the first one. I'm going to let a caller be the first one. I already have a call line lit up, and I love it. So we're going to go back and forth, just sharing tradition, sharing what we do, and building. You know, this is a build. You may hear something here. You're like, hey, I like that idea. I want to build on that. I want to keep working. If you have an opinion about Thanksgiving, its origin, what's going on with it now, I'd like to hear that too. So, you know, I'm going to be a little bit more open to our format because I want to hear from the people. That's what I want to do. That's what we're doing tonight, okay? So let me see if I can grab this phone line real quick. Greetings, welcome to the show. Greetings, greetings. Oh, is this a baby elephant? Yes, this is she. How are you, dear?
How are you? I'm fine.
I am well. All right, talk to us. How you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm glad that you opened the format because I am learning, well, I'm going to be honest, and then I'm the first caller, so it's like with holidays, it's different for me. I'm not really used to that family atmosphere. We have family gatherings, but just dealing with it, it's a lot of trauma. So this year, I'm actually going to the beach. I'm going to the beach. I'm going to relax, but I want to actually establish more of a loving vibe with my family. And especially with the holiday coming up, and this is the first Thanksgiving without my uncle being here. And it's a lot. It's a lot because he just passed not too long ago. So it's a lot. So I think this year I wanted to just kind of give myself a restart. But I do want to have more of a family-oriented holiday and celebration. And I'm striving to get myself to the point where, you know, I can host some things, or, you know, I can be a big part of the celebration, because the uncles are getting older, the aunts are getting older, you know, the cousins are the elders now, and we're getting older. So it's like I want to create a new feeling and a newness about the tradition with Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I am. Because, I mean, some of us, we're breaking cycles, we're breaking habits, we're growing, and just because one person is growing doesn't mean the other person is. So it's like, you know, I don't want to just forget where I came from, but I want to better and not be a victim about it. You know what I'm saying? I want to better that energy with my family. So that's where I am with this Thanksgiving thing. And I know that it can be a little hard, because it's more about, a lot of people talk about family and all of this, and that's cool and that's great, because it's nice to see your family and it's nice. But, you know, if the energy around it is not really healthy, how can we recreate this loving tradition? You know, how can we recreate something nice, this newness with the family? So that's where I am. And I think that's a good spot to be, because I used to go home and just see, oh, you know, here go this again. Let me tell you something. Oh, Lord, you know, nobody wants to hear a girl come to the back room, let me tell you something, or let me, or guess who did that. That, you know, that is so old. And 2020 being the way it has been with us, I don't want that energy to continue. So I am in the process of first getting me together, but then I want to eventually, like I said, create something new with my family that has that good energy and that good love and good vibe. So that's where Baby Elephant is.
All right, Baby Elephant. Let's talk about it, because you said a couple of things. You said you want to have a more loving relationship with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two things are required. Love, okay, number one, you duh. And then two is patience. Love is patient and kind, okay? And when you're trying to add something that hasn't been there, let's say it's been turbulent, you add it slowly. Don't wake up. I love your attitude, because it's like, I'm not going to wake up in the morning and expect all of the hurt to disappear. I'm not going to wake up in the morning and expect everything just to stop spinning and to do only what I wanted to do. And no, it doesn't work like that. It takes time. You may have to try more than once. You may have to limit your efforts. You know, I have family members, I practically look at the watch and I'm like, okay, I know I got 20 minutes of patience. After that, I need to make some other plans. Quickly. I got 20 minutes. That's all I got. So, you know, knowing is half the battle. That don't mean that doesn't mean we're not family. It doesn't mean we don't love each other. It doesn't mean any of those things. All it means is that I am very aware that there's more healing needed, and therefore I'm going to be mindful of how much I open myself up. I'm going to be mindful of, you know, the words I say, and I'm going to be mindful of how much time I spent. Okay, if we start popping bottles about 9:45, I need to be in my car, you know. And so there's nothing wrong with that. All we have to do is be honest about where we are and what we're doing. And then that begins to put it in there. You know, when you're around somebody, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to rub off on them or they're going to rub off on you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So if you're coming with the intentions of positivity, that's going to rub off. But you also have to be aware if they're coming with intentions of negativity, that has the potential to rub off too. Like this evening, I will be smoking my house out. You know what I'm saying? Tonight, I'll be taking my white bath. Not that I'm planning for battle, but just in case, okay? You were just keeping it real, okay? We're just being honest, right?
Right.
So 100%, that's how you go about things. You hope for the best. You prepare for what you have seen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to want to try to start a new tradition. Very, very good. And we don't have to wait for the calendar to say, hey, stop what you're doing. You're doing this at this time. We can make up our own time. You know, you can create a day out of no day. You know what I'm saying? It's June 6th day. That's why I'm out here. And, you know, I'm just going to ask all the cousins to do this, you know. And so we don't have to wait for elders to say, come and gather. Because like you say, elders are always getting older, you know what I'm saying, becoming less mobile and everything else like that. So let's use what we do have. Another thing is I wanted to mention, I'm glad that you have your biological family and you have layers to your biological family, but we also have the benefit of a spiritual family. That's what a wonderful approach is. And so a wonderful approach actually has some traditions. We get together, we go to the water for cleansing. That's already written in stone. Only the date has been announced, but we know we're going to do it. It's a tradition. You know, we come mm-hmm. from our fast, we come from, you know, working on ourselves, and then we get dunked in that water. This is tradition. We have a tradition of cleansing, you know, and so there's two or three things that a wonderful approach does each year. It's a tradition, you know, work your calendar around it. You know, I give Solomon, my oldest, the dates ahead of time because he calls himself having a social life, but I don't care if you have a social life or not. Get there on these dates, okay? Because that's part of family tradition. That's part of working and building on ourselves. You know, because when he does that, that gives him a chance to have all of his aunties come and brush him off, say, hey, boy, work on this, do that. So, you know, these family traditions, they have a way of helping us. You know, we mm-hmm. have to be around family to see those other generations start to come in and play those positive roles with us. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, look, I'm telling you, more traditions are coming. Your spiritual family is growing. We're getting situated so that we can have positive family traditions. And then hopefully the family lines, as the family lines blur, some of that positivity will start blurring too. And we'll just be working together, creating positive intentions all over the place. Okay. Awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
And baby Elvin, before you go, I know you have a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks. That might be a nice time to start a tradition for yourself. Something to think about. Something to think about. So thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us.
Thank you.
Enjoy your turkey day. What's your favorite dish? What is your Thanksgiving dish?
Stuffing. Like, I was, I used to be on the wrestling team in high school, and we used to have the tournaments around the holidays, and I couldn't stay away from stuffing. Well, dressing. I could stay away from it, and, you know, with the wrestling, you have different weight classes, and clearly I was over my 3 pounds, so, I mean, yeah, dressing is just, it does something to me. It's filled with black excellence, you know?
Okay, I love it, too. Awesome. All right, so we'll talk more soon.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, peace. Happy holidays. Okay. Look, we have some wonderful traditions. I want to hear about them. You know, one tradition that I'll share because brought up the birthday. And I think this is maybe third generation that does this, but for birthdays, we have birthdays coming up, quite a few birthdays coming up. For your birthday, what you would do is you would call or go to each person that was older than you, and you would ask them to give you some advice. That was the birthday present for you, you know. And of course, if you get don't eat yellow snow, you know, that's some advice. That's some advice, you know. I hope you already knew that, but you know, it was very interesting to hear what people that were older than you had to say to you. And sometimes they're older only by 6 months. You know, they may be older by a day, but there's something that that person knows because they have lived longer than you that they could possibly share with you, and it would mean something to you. So for my birthday, I call everyone that's older than me, people that like me, people that don't like me. I said, hey, you owe me a gift of wisdom. I would like for you to impart some wisdom to me for my birthday. You know, seeing how you've already seen this day, you know, you've already seen 49. Tell me, give me some words of advice. And it's always, always, always very interesting what you're given when you ask. So that's one of our family traditions. And I strongly advise it for others. Take some time to get your wisdom from those not necessarily that are ancient, you know, much, much older than you. But if they've lived another day, celebrate that day and find out what did they know. Because there may be some key information that you just haven't thought about, maybe haven't processed, but it can mean a lot to you moving forward. So look into your birthday wishes. Look into getting those. And then, of course, as we get older and there's less people to give us advice, then you'll begin to see and understand that you already have the wisdom. So it is a lot of fun for me and for what I've seen the young people go around collecting their wisdom, because they'll walk up to the elder and say, hey, you owe me some wisdom. The elder's like, excuse you? But, you know, really, if you think about it, it's like, hey, I'm not going to let you cheat me of wisdom at this moment. I need that. You have it? Give it to me. I'm owed that. It is my birthday. So, you know, this is just a small trend, a small tradition that we do that I would suggest a couple people do. And whenever I've been around someone, I'm like, hey, recognize. Don't let that elder walk around with your wisdom. Go hunt that elder down and tell him, hey, I need my wisdom from you. I need you to tell me something good, something I'm going to be able to hold on to, something that's going to make me think. So, you know, that's another small family tradition. So tonight we're just going over family traditions. What tradition does your family have, whether it's dealing with Thanksgiving, birthdays, any other holiday, any tradition period? You know, let us share with us and let us know what you do and why. You know, I was as the baby elephant was talking, I was reminded of a story. There was a young woman who saw her mother. Her mother was baking a ham, and the mother chopped off the back of the ham and put the ham in the pan, and the little part that she chopped off, I think she fed to the dog or whatever. And the young lady said, hey, Ma, why do you chop off that part and, you know, don't cook it? And she said, you know, I don't know. I always saw my mother do it that way, and that's just the way I did it. She said, okay, all right. She said, go ask Grandma. Grandma will answer the question for you. So the young lady goes, and she goes to the grandmother, the mother's mother, and says, Grandma, you know, I'm becoming of age. I'm trying to learn new things, blah, blah, blah. Why does my mother chop off the rump part of this, you know, ham? Why does she do that? And the grandmother said, I don't know why she does it. I know why I did it. I did it because I didn't have a big pan. All I had was a little pan to cook in. So I had to chop that part off in order for it to fit in the pan. So I don't know why your mother does it. So I, when I read that, I was like, oh, too funny. Because how many times do we do things? And this is 2020. How many times do we do things not fully understanding the full meaning, but we've seen it done. We've seen it done. We've heard about it. You know, this is the age of the internet. You know, we read about it. We saw a YouTube video, whatever. But, you know, there's so many times and things that we do that we don't know the full meaning for, but we do them anyways. And we do them like we're right. You know what I'm saying? We do it like we are right. Like that's the only way it can be done. Where if we had done just a little bit more investigating, you would realize you're doing it for the wrong reason. And so I'm always reminded of that when I think about tradition, when I think about, you know, making sure we're upholding our end of the tradition and as a positive tradition. There are some traditions out there that are not so cool. You know, I love to know about the history of things, not because I want to stay stuck in the past, and not because I want to stay limited in what that tradition is, but because I like to know the origin of things. And if you think about the origin, unfortunately, of so many things here dealing with African Americans, it's not a pretty origin. It really is not. Slavery was so incredibly brutal that a lot of the things that we evolved out of came from, like, absolutely horrible conditions. So, you know, my question is, when we change that, does it really change the energy of it? You know, does it change everything that it's supposed to be? Can we turn and make something a positive experience just because we said it is? I don't know. I was talking to I held a group session. I do groups and counseling during the day, and today was a hard day because nobody wants to do groups. Everybody wants to sit at home and eat and drink and drink and eat. They don't want to talk about healthy living and, you know, substance abuse. They don't talk about that. But anyways, had this great conversation. I asked this gentleman, you know, what was he thinking about for food? And he's chitlins and hog maws. I don't even know what a hog maw is. I need a caller that to press one and explain to me what is a hog maw. I've heard of it. I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly. But that's what he wanted. And I said, you going to do that cooking yourself? He said, yes. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to cook it myself. I know how to cook chitlins. It's good. Blah, 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 blah. And he goes on and he spent about 5-10 minutes explaining to me. First the cleaning process, then the soaking process, then the, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you can't be serious. He's extremely serious. That's tradition for him. It's tradition for the men to sit outside. He said only the men cook it in his house. So it's tradition for him for the men to sit outside cleaning this stuff. Now, anything you got to clean like that, I don't know if you should be putting in your mouth, but you stay outside, they clean it, they cook it, they're talking, they're building memories, they're learning new skills, they're looking after the younger men coming into the circle, you know, because from what I understand, only the older men and the men old enough to drink a beer could sit outside while they were cleaning this pig out and cooking this pig. So at that point, me, someone who grew up vegetarian, okay, at that point, is it about the pig, you know, or is it about kind of like a male rites of passage where, you know, we're spending time, we're bonding all night cooking this animal. You know, we're outside in the elements, you know. So at that point, I could still sit back and be like, oh, you eating that nasty swine. You know, I could. But when I looked out there, I didn't see any swine. The times I have seen the menfolk do this, it wasn't about the swine. It was 100% about the family, the brotherhood of men, about building family traditions, about escorting the young men into the idea of manhood. And, you know, so, yeah, there was a fire out there, and, yeah, there was, you know, a pig out there, but there was so much else out there. So, you know, when I'm talking about family traditions, so this brother in the group, he took me right back to when I've seen this with my eyes, you know, and it's so funny because they were generous. They let me come outside. I got to laugh and joke for a minute. And then the elder gentleman, Papa Getty Nimbo, he says, I think I hear the grown mumbo calling you. Now, everybody knows I got supersonic ears. If you're thinking about me, I'm going to hear you. And I was like, Papa, I don't think that she called me. He said, I think she did. Go inside and check and see if she called you. And then I was like, okay, all right. So I went inside. Grandmama, did you call me? And she said, oh, no, I didn't call you, but that's cute for the time for you to come inside. I said, okay, I get it. So not even being fully aware of the family tradition, I was able to recognize the family tradition. And it was a wonderful thing. So, you know, tonight we're chilling a little bit. We're talking about things that we like, things we love, things that have meaning for us, things that we've witnessed and had powerful meaning, but just whatever our family traditions are. And somebody can explain to me what a hog mog is, and then I'd appreciate that too. But all you have to do is press 1 if you'd like to join the conversation. That's going to let us know, hey, I'm going to come in, I'm going to share, and this is what my family does. And it's important that we keep these family memories alive. You know, whenever we do, being a spiritual organization, we do a lot of praying, a lot of conversation about God, a lot of conversation about ancestors. A lot of our ancestors are kept alive in these conversations. Our ancestors are kept alive in us remembering. Do you remember that Thanksgiving with this? Remember that? I can remember the Thanksgiving 2 years ago when my Aunt Sandy was living. And I'm always mad Thanksgiving. I'm going to need somebody to call and check up on me. But, you know, Thanksgivings are always a little difficult, you know, because I love them so much. I don't want anybody doing anything silly. Somebody always does something silly. So, so I'm up here loving Thanksgiving, doing all this, doing all that. And my aunt was there. My aunt had a tradition of making weird things. She always made food that she knew we didn't need. And I would ask her, Aunt Sandy, don't nobody want no salad with strawberries and walnuts in it. We don't want that. Or Aunt Sandy, we don't want no, I think it was called a Buckeye. I would call it a Reese's peanut butter cup, but it's peanut butter with chocolate. I said, don't nobody want to eat that. You know what I'm saying? We want regular food. But, you know, she called herself exposing our palates to something different. And that's what she did. And so this year I was like, what can I do? What can I cook that I really don't know how to cook? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I got the traditional. I got traditional down. I already got this thing soaking. This cooked, my mom's bringing food, you know, the whole night. We already got traditional. I said, but in the spirit of Aunt Sandy, what can I do that I've never done before that maybe I wanted to? And so this year I'm trying homemade eggnog. We love eggnog. That's religion in this house. And so homemade eggnog, oh, my goodness. I'm so looking forward to trying it, just trying it. I'm not guaranteed to get it right. I hope I do, but I'm not guaranteed. So, again, this is part of a family tradition. Someone has to try something they've never done before just because that's the kind of person that she was, okay? And we'll talk about her We'll laugh. We'll talk about some of the crazy recipes, some of the crazy things she did. You know, but on one hand, we're doing family traditions. On the other hand, we're elevating ancestors. We're bringing ancestors. We're keeping them elevated. We're keeping their names current. You know, you got to make sure. And this is part of our job. This is part of our job. You know what I'm saying? I pray, hope and pray that the footsteps that we leave our children and our children's children, that we won't just become a name. I don't want to be just a name. I want to be remembered and the things that we did remembered and the energies we put out remembered. So, you know, that's what we're doing with family traditions, okay? This is why, you know, you'll see dedicated to, you know, that's what, you know, this Thanksgiving here is definitely going to have a dedicated to. And so as we're sitting around talking and laughing and joking before anybody eats, we're going to pinch off an ancestor plate just to let ancestors know that we're thinking about them. You know, we love them. We're inviting them into our space. And I work with a mixed group, meaning I'll be around people that are spiritual and people that are not. Nobody, I don't have to announce to everybody that I'm getting a plate for ancestors. You know, it's just an understanding. And for those that don't understand, they don't even notice. They don't even see. So it's a great, wonderful time. And this is part of our family traditions. If you would like to share one of your family traditions, all you have to do is press 1. That will let me know here on the switchboard, hey, I want to share some things that me and my siblings did, me and anyone else did. I would like to share and just, you know, this, you know, big up my ancestors. You know, do you have an ancestral tradition that you do? Even if they don't call it ancestral tradition, if you do it, if you make this particular kind of cake and you only make it because your aunt so-and-so made it, that's a family tradition. That's an ancestral tradition. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we're working on, that we're building on. These are the things we need to make note of, family. You know, not only is it important to us, you know, take half a minute. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, write some of this information down, you know, because that information, it means a lot to us, but it'll be a gold mine for them because they won't have the memory, the physical memory. I have a physical memory in my mind. You know, my children have a physical memory. But what will happen soon is when they have children, they won't have that memory. So it will need to be planted. So it will have to be either left so that they can find it, or it will have to be planted by someone. So we know that. We're jotting stuff down now. You know, we don't have to keep recreating the wheel. So many times we see people that have to go to the ancestry.com, or they have to go and work with, you know, elders that made me clear on the details. So, you know, just so that people don't have to go through that, jot down some of this information now. You know, jot down some of the family traditions, some of the things that they've done, some of the things ancestors have done, you know. Write it down for yourself, some of the things that you've done. You know, allow your footprint to be felt by that next generation so that we can continue to have traditions. Because we are such a voyeuristic community now, you know, everything we do, we're watching someone else. We get this from someone else. Between YouTube and reality TV, I don't think people write, you know, scripts anymore. Everything now is all about watching someone else. And on one hand, I'm like, okay, that's wonderful. But when you're doing that, you are taking in someone else's family tradition. You know, how many times, you know, I think the show is called Family Ties. I'm not sure. I didn't watch TV. But the show was Urkel. Okay, and every time Urkel came in the room, he kind of swung himself around and said hello a certain kind of snarly way, whatever. And that was his thing, okay? That was his tradition. That's how he worked. But I bet you we don't even pay attention to how our loved ones walk into the door. You know, if you saw your loved one walking down the street, you know, all you saw was the walk, would you be able to recognize them? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we're not paying enough attention to what we're doing and what traditions we're leaving. I don't want, you know, certain traditions we don't want. You know, if you are the family member that is due to get intoxicated and act a donkey, that's a tradition we might want to skip this year. Yep. If you are the family member, if you have a fighting family, if someone's going to fight, let's let that go. We don't have to do that every time we get together, you know. And it's something else I want to talk about when it comes to the holidays. Lots of people on the line, lots of new people on the line. I want to welcome all of you to A Wonderful Approach Radio, and we're talking about family traditions. You know, not necessarily Thanksgiving, but if you have a tradition, let us know what that is and where it came from, okay? And so all you have to do is press 1. That lets me know that you would like to speak. I want to talk about, you know, some family traditions that are not good, positive, easy. The holidays ain't easy for everybody, family. I've said it before. I will have to say it until we really get an understanding. There are some people that really go through some major depression and anxiety around the holidays, crippling anxiety, crippling, overwhelming. So when it comes to family traditions, one of the things that I do is I invite people that I don't think have any place to go. I will go through a call list. I will call people that I know they may not have the benefit of having their mother and father living. And I just call and talk and, you know, be there for that person. And I have a list of people who I know are missing a parent, one parent, possibly two. And I'll call, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, just thinking about you. You know, what are you doing for the holidays? Where are you going? You know, a couple of A Wonderful Approach people who I know don't have the support around them, I'll reach out and say, hey, you know where the house is now. You know, don't hesitate to come and to spend that time. You know, you don't, what your biological family doesn't have, your spiritual family may. So this is why we're here for each other, and this is why we spend the time and energy for each other. And so I have made a number of phone calls, and I will be making more of them again tomorrow and saying, you know, just finding out where you are and what we're doing. So, you know, let this be for everyone. You would be surprised how far a simple phone call can go, especially right now we're stuck in COVID land, so we're not able to travel as easily as we did before. So, if you know, some of us may be literally stuck where we are. And so, you know, take a time, you know, all my angels, take a minute, reach out to people. And I love texting. I do. I get to have my message across. I get to proofread it, make sure okay. But tomorrow, can we speak on the phone a little bit? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? You know, let's share with each other. Let's really try to be a family with one another, okay? Because, again, some of us don't have it. You know, I made a call out, a desperate call, you know, because I know I have two people that really need some help getting through the holidays. And I said, look, I need some help helping someone fight off this depression, fight off this anxiety, I need some help helping someone. And I was so glad that every person that I asked for help for, they in some way were ready to lend themselves to that. But this is why, you know, I'm always talking about getting your prayer life strong. This is why I'm always speaking about, you know, being in a state of readiness to do God's work, because we never know when that call is going to come through saying, hey, we need a prayer. You know, hey, I got a problem. And if I've ever called you in the middle of it, you know, it's pretty intense. So, you know, part of our family tradition, you know, mine personally is I reach out to people that I know have lost a parent or even have, you know, have lost a child, just not in a good family space, you know, where their family space may be lacking. And so I will do that just to help, you know, just be a voice of reason, you know, just to have, you know, sometimes people just need one person to care. I just need one person to think about me. I just need, you know, so that's something that's a tradition of mine. That's something I do every holiday. And I've gotten people say, man, you don't know that phone call came just in time. You know, you don't know, you know, I really thought I was going to be drowning. I didn't know how I was going to make it out. And so for those that have gotten a call, I'm glad it was helpful. And for those that need a phone call, look, you can call me. I'd rather you call me early in the morning, late at night. I'd rather you call me and you get the sleepy frog voice than for you not to call me and then we're in a bad situation. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, let's spend some time with that. You know, the baby elephant said, look, I want to start something new. I want to start something that's about me. So, you know, let's do that. Let's start these things that are about us. You know, what things are you passionate about? My sister does the Feed the Homeless, and she's very passionate about it. She does it every year. She's done it every year since these kids were born. And so, you know, the kids are 21. So for every year that I have known of her existence, she has gone down there and fed the homeless. Now, of course, I don't know how they're going to do COVID. I don't know how they're going to do this, that, or the other. But that's what's been going on. That's how we've been working. When you're dedicated like that, that's how you get things to happen for you in the positive. So, you know, I would like everybody to take a minute. What can you do? You know what I'm saying? What can you do tomorrow? You know, what can we do just to help somebody know, hey, care about you, thinking about you. I want you to be well. You know, that's always a big thing with me. I want you to be well. You know, and you'd be surprised how far that can go. So don't let these holidays go by. Don't let the tradition go by and you haven't reached out to anybody. You know, no pity parties tomorrow. No pity parties, but let's get that tradition going. And even if you're trying a new tradition, just let us know. I am trying something new. My oldest son is asked me if he's dating a young lady. He'd like to bring her home. And this is a big deal. This is the first time in this generation. And he asked me to cook dinner. I have not cooked Thanksgiving dinner since he was about two. And so this is a very big deal for me. This has been mentally a little taxing for me. And so start a new tradition. He wants to have his place. You know, he wants to have where, you know, he can show his family off and his mother off. And it's a wonderful thing, but it's a little scary because I'm trying something new. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how it's going to be received. I am promising to try to be nice. But, you know, there's a lot going on with this thing right here. I can see already I'm creating a new family tradition. There's going to be new members to the family. You know, this is a big deal. So I am very excited about the newness of this tradition. And tradition only means that you've done it, you know, that you've done it traditionally. You've done it over and over. That's all it means. But I'm looking forward to starting this. You know, there's so many good memories that comes from the beginning, that starting place. So, you know, even I'm on the eve of what is a new tradition. And it's a little scary, but I'm willing to go forward with it. You know, in the middle, there's a new twist. I'd like to invite my grandmother and my aunt. So I'm like, oh, you want to have the family here. Okay. So, it's going to be difficult. But I am determined to try to have this start off good. I'm determined to be this better person, a bigger person. I'm determined to have peace and harmony and, you know, all those things that I really want, all those things that I say are important, all the things that I encourage others to do, to be, to say, everything. Here I am having to, you know, really say, okay, what does this mean to you? What does this look like? You know, that's a question I always get asked, and it always kind of stomps me. What does it look like? You know, so what does this tradition look like where I'm with my family and there's another person here? You know, what does it look like when all of the pressure of getting the meal ready, getting the house ready, you know, is different from last year? You know, different people here, you know, missing some key people as far as I'm concerned. You know, what does it look like when, you know, even the traditions change a little? Because this is not how we've done Thanksgiving in the past. You know, we've never had to work on an extra woman being there. But here we are. And I'm looking forward to it because I know that with traditions, there's evolution. You know, there's more people trying. You know, we're going to be, you know, hopefully a bigger, stronger family after this. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity. I'm looking forward to the opportunity. And then what happens when the holidays remind you of what you don't have, your loss? You know, how do you still find joy in the middle of the loss? And that can be quite difficult. You know, for people that have lost someone in between, you know, in the months of November and December, these holidays can be so hard. And then it seems like we're being bombarded with holidays. You know, they started playing Christmas music almost a week ago. I was like, my goodness, we haven't even had Thanksgiving yet. You know, we've already had the Christmas movies, all of that. So if you are triggered by the holidays, if the holidays are hard for you, can you imagine the bombardment where it's in the radio, it's in the store has the countdown, how many days left until Christmas? And, I mean, there's so much going on that's going to, whether you want to or not, remind you, hey, we have a tradition. And if that tradition for you means pain, you're about to go head deep into it. I really, again, still looking for someone to help me with this one that, you know, where the holidays are the trigger. You know, can you imagine being triggered for an entire month? You know, can you imagine being worried and on edge and not knowing what to do or how you're going to do it for an entire month? So it's very difficult. It's very difficult. So as we're going through and, you know, tomorrow I pray that every angel has, you know, a nice place to be, you know, a place where they can laugh and joke and feel comfort, feel love, enjoy themselves. You know, as we go through this time, you know, I also want you to really think about those that don't. If you could, as you're making a prayer to God, just pray for those that don't, that have kind of lost their way, I so appreciate it. You know, when you're taking, make sure everybody, that you're making a plate for ancestors. Do not miss Ancestors Thanksgiving. The cleanup work behind that, no, I'm sorry. But the cleanup work behind that would be quite ugly, okay? Ancestors, like, I know you didn't go through a whole year of study just to forget about the ancestor plate for Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Everybody remember ancestors for Thanksgiving. If you can't make them a special dish, a special traditional Southern Thanksgiving dish, If you can't do that, at least can, you know, share what you do have. Share your bounty. You know, be open-minded to that. That's going to be a good thing, okay? So absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So like I said, press one. Call and share your feeling traditions. Don't just listen to mine. Mine are interesting. But, you know, share and so that we can go and build and everything else like that. You know, my family traditions all have to deal with great food. You know, I would love to hear a story of somebody where the food wasn't that great. You know, how did you handle that? How did you fake your way out of that family tradition? You know, what's the family tradition that you say, if I never hear about any more bottles of beer on the wall, you know, what did that tradition have to do with? If you had a tradition where, you know, one of the traditions when the boys were young, I remember Talib was just a baby, you know, I mean, 3 months. And so that was his first Christmas. And back when me and my sister lived in the same city, I would have the boys for Thanksgiving and she would have the boys for Christmas. And we're a very education-focused family. You have to learn this, that, and this. He had to write, you know, Talib is right now writing his letter of gratitude, the things that he is grateful for. I remember last year last year I had Talib and Razak with me. And not only did we write our letters of gratitude, but we called a number of angels and said, hey, would you share some of the things that you're grateful for, you know, so that I can learn how to, you know, incorporate those things into my list. So not only did they write their list, but they called a couple of people to find out, hey, what types of things are you grateful for? You know, and it was very interesting to hear. We called a couple women and a couple men. It was very interesting to hear what adults were grateful for, you know, and some of them were like, hey, I don't know. I ain't thought about it. I'm just grateful to be alive, and I'm grateful that I don't have to write that report anymore. But, you know, really it helps people to kind of think and say, okay, look, what am I grateful for? You know, what have I accomplished this year that has really gotten me feeling good, making me say, I can do this, I can be this, I can build this. So, you know, that's another family tradition that we do every year, write a letter of gratitude. What are we grateful for? What are we working on? And I can tell you, you know, if you don't know what you're grateful for, or if your prayer life ever slacks up, I can tell you the two are connected. Because the things that you're grateful for are the very things that you will pray for. Okay? So if you'll pray for your health, you're grateful for the health that you have. Doesn't mean it's perfect, but it means that it's you recognize the value in it. When you are grateful for something, you see a value in it. And so that grateful list, I was to hear what 14-year-old boys were grateful for, you know. And I can tell you food was on the top 10 of both the lists, you know. And I was like, food, I'll feed you guys every night. You're fine, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't realize that, you know, the little bit of effort and energy that I put into it created a place of thankfulness for them. You know, a lot of times we do things, we don't know the full impact. We're not thinking about the full impact. We're just thinking, oh, this is just what I do. This is tradition for me. But for other people, it can be everything. So, you know, I'm not trying to give out homework. I know we're in the middle of COVID. We're in the middle of some of us are still studying with the mothers. I mean, I know we're doing a lot of work, okay? But aren't you grateful for a minute to think about the things that you're grateful for, you know? Aren't you grateful for that day where you can be off of work, you know, even if you don't like work or if you do like work, but aren't you grateful for a second? You know, I'm grateful for good health. You know, not perfect health. I didn't ask for perfect health. Not a perfect person. I thank God for that. That's too much pressure, too much work. But my imperfect self, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for being in the right side of my brain this morning, okay? And I say this morning because I know I'm not guaranteed the next, but I'll take this morning. You know, I'm grateful for, oh my goodness, the wonderful people I get to surround myself with. My biological family, my spiritual family, my Black nationalist family. I have a whole slew of people around me that are good, that are positive, that keep me on a straight and narrow, whether they know it or not, they do. And so, you know, I have all of these things to be grateful for, and I take the time to write it out. I take the time, hopefully, to show appreciation by giving energy, by making a phone call, by sending that text, by whatever I can do to show the energy, I try to do it. And so, you know, gratitude and gratefulness is definitely part of my family tradition. That letter that the boys write, that I have written since I've always written it, you know, since you can write. You know, if you couldn't write, if you can't write, draw. You know, draw the picture. You know, what makes you happy, what makes you smile. So since the beginning of time, I've been thinking and evaluating gratitude, gratefulness. And it's like I remember, you know, thinking, man, almost everything I think about can create gratitude. Everything I think about, I can be grateful for because it's teaching me something. I learned a new lesson on this. I learned a new way of handling a situation. And so I'm absolutely always in the mode of gratitude. And when you're always grateful, I think you're always prayerful because you're prayerful being thanking for the grateful moments. You're also prayerful because you want to continue in those moments. Okay, I want to continue in my right mind, you know, so I'm going to protect it with prayer, you know, so I'm going to praise it in prayer. I'm also going to protect it with prayer, you know, so there are family traditions that we have that are safety related too, spiritual related. You know, there are people every New Year's, I can't remember when, but every New Year's, every single New Year's, we pray in the New Year's, okay? We got candles lit. 2-3 years ago, I mean, had to have 25, 30 candles lit at once. It was a nice little bonfire. You could feel the heat coming off the room. It was wonderful. Prayers, individual prayers, individual family notes. Every single year have done this. But guess what? That's not a mean tradition. Many Christians are praying in the new year. It's midnight service. That's something I didn't know till I probably was about 40 years old. I was like, well, what are they in there praying for? And I was told the same thing you out here praying for. I said, oh, I didn't know. So some traditions come not from our family, but they come from our religious organizations. You know, Ramadan, big fast time, you know, working on self, reconciling self. That's a tradition in my household, you know, getting ready for that rites of passage for adulthood. You know, it's not just about delaying food. It's not just about not eating. It is 100% about taking on the responsibility and obligations of an adult. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to fast. Children don't fast. Pregnant people don't fast. But if you're not pregnant and if you're not a child, you want to step up and say, hey, look, I'm ready for this responsibility. I got this. So the tradition of fasting is a big deal. And I can tell you, the pride that I had when my youngest, you know, he's not a baby, you know, but he's still, my youngest decided, hey, I'm going to fast. I think I helped decide for him. I helped coach him along in that decision because the baby was comfortable being the baby. But I said, no, 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 no. That mouth, that you got too much mouth to be the baby. You're going to have to stand up and be counted with the adults. And he did. And even though he thought it was going to kill him, it didn't. So, you know, some traditions are not only, you know, related to our family. You know, some traditions we learn through our religious understandings. Some traditions are associated with our community or our country. You know, the 4th of July, that's a tradition. You know, the fireworks, you know, we talk about the history of something. The fireworks were bombs. You know, the fireworks were explosives. They weren't something that you looked in the sky and said, ooh, that meant that someone was probably dying. You know, that was the original explosions in the sky, the banging sounds and everything else like that. That was a tradition of war. And so is it that now? No. Now it's beautiful fireworks and they have different colors and lights all over the place. But the origin of that is riddled in war, death, killing. So, you know, people will say, well, that's not what I meant to do now. So this is what I'm talking about, how traditions can change meanings. They can. But we still have to be aware of the original meaning, and we must not play around and not be disillusioned as to what it could mean now. You know, we have a lot of times we'll get caught up in, caught up in the beat. You not listen to the words. All you do is like, man, that's a nice beat. I like that. That's horrible words. They're promoting negativity at the lowest. But because it got a nice beat, got a deep hook, I'm in. No, that is negative. And so we have to make sure that we're not just, you know, brushing by things and allowing things to happen and occur that we know are negative. In the city of Cordele, about 5 or 6 years ago, they used to have something called Nigga Day. And Nigga Day is when you would sit out. They have a little park, and you would go out there, and you would eat chicken and watermelon and blast your music. Swear to you is the truth. And I'm like, excuse me, who are you talking to? What does this mean? Oh, yeah, we have the flea market, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And it was a real thing for them. It was like a bootleg Juneteenth. And they, you know, they said they didn't call it Nigga Day, but it got called that because that's what the local townsmen would call it, as they were like, okay, we're going to let them have that day. Let them be over there. Let that be Nigga Day over there. And that's what people accepted, never changed it, never corrected anybody, and that's what it was. So that's the tradition. That's not a good tradition, family. That's not anything we need to be repeating, promoting, anything. And so enough people fussed about the title of it, and so they changed it to Watermelon Day. And I'm not making this up, I swear to you, okay? This is history of Southern rule African-American history. Okay, it's real. So it's Watermelon Day, and they do exactly the same things. And everybody is just, they're happy. They ignore the fact that it just had a negative connotation. So does changing it from Nigga Day to Watermelon Day, does that change the energy of it? You know, does it really change the intent behind it? And you have to ask these questions, because my thing is, because my last question is going to be, was it necessary to change the name then? If none of those things changed, I mean, you didn't add no history in there, no nothing. If nothing changed, did the name have to change? And I guarantee you, the people that are trying to get the name changed were not the people going to the event. So when it comes to traditions, let's know the full history of it. You know, I was very proud to say, to report, to be a part of the Harriet Tubman Day in Macon, Georgia, of March 10th. And so big hoopla. Press was there. I did a portrayal of Harriet Tubman. It was amazing to see that be brought into a national day where the mayor comes and says, hey, this is now Harriet Tubman Day. And I was like, whoa, just like that, we have our own day. You know, we get to do this, we get to do that. The tradition of that, now every year, that's now a tradition that Macon, Georgia gets to be a part of. You know, that's now a tradition that I can say, hey, I was part of something positive. I helped make some changes. It was wonderful, everything else like that. So, and then I can, you know, we can look forward and say, okay, they added to it. Oh, this is when we have extended learning. This is when they open up the Tubman Museum for free. This is when they, you know, there's a lot of positives that come with that tradition. It doesn't take a whole lot to start it. All you have to do is start it and then commit to following through with it no matter what. The only thing that you need to get to start a tradition is a commitment. That's it. I commit to come and to help with this and to do this. We now have a tradition. Once we've done something, when we went to the water the first time and it was so intense and beautiful, I knew at that very moment I will do this every single year as long as my body permits. I'm going to come to this water and we're going to do this work and pray and be cleansed and start our life and blah, blah, blah. The first time I knew that, this would be it for me. This would be forever. I'm going to always do this at least once a year. So when we're doing our work, when you're going about your day, when you're thinking about the things that are important to you, and I promise you, family, anything important to you is going to be important to someone else. Anything that you think you need, I promise you there's someone else with that same need. Someone else that says, hey, look, I need some help with this. So let's be there for each other. Let's grow with each other. You know, let's get our family traditions on. And if you need some help, you know, I like spending time with family. I like family traditions. We can make that happen. We can make that happen. So, and I got lots of family to make it happen too. So, you know, let's continue to work on ourselves while we work with other people. You know, let's get a tradition of health and wellness. That's a tradition I want. Let's have a tradition of where we're taking care of ourselves. Let's have a tradition of where positive things are celebrated. You know, we got our love going on. We got our, you know, our wealth and our health going on. You know, so I'm ready to start some new traditions, especially after 2020. 2020 was so disrespectful. 2020 was so disrespectful. I said, never again. You won't catch me like this again. So let's continue to spend that time building. Spend the time in positivity. Spend the time learning, growing. I want everyone within the sound of my voice, if you can hear me now, if you're going to listen later, please have a wonderful weekend. Make this weekend what it can be for you. Make this weekend just full of positivity. Even if you need some help, I'm always here for some help when it comes to some positivity. If you're having a dark day, if you're not getting it, if you don't mind my mouth, give me a call, and we can work it out. Of course, please always remember, build on your family tradition of prayer. Allow prayer to be one of the things that your family, and I'm doing my little air quotes, does. Y'all pray. You know, when people think about your family, you know, what do they think about? What do they know about your family? In my family, they know you're going to pray. That's what we're going to do. In my family, you know you're going to learn something. If you quit, you will learn something. You know, rather learn something voluntarily than to be caught up and they teach you something on, you know, sit down, child, so I can teach you something. You're like, oh, I've messed up. I should have learned on my own. So, you know, I really, really, really want to wish everyone a sincere happy holidays. Enjoy this time. I wish for everyone to pray for me, keep me in your thoughts, because, you know, I'm dealing with some situations, and I need some help. I want to make sure that I'm being a nice person, and I want to be a better person in the middle of all this. Pray for me. Pray for me, family. I want to pray for all of those, you know, this is even before the prayer, you know. I want to pray for all those that are kind of lost right now, whose hearts are hurting, who don't know up from down, those people that have kind of drifted into a dark place. You know, if we can send up a prayer for them just to be able to see a flicker of your light so that they can see a piece of God reflected in you. You know, we did a show on the moon, and I was talking about the patience and the beauty of the moon, because the moon does not have its own light. It waits to be reflected upon. So the moon is in a state of readiness to be reflecting the light from the sun when that time comes. The moon doesn't even get to select when the time comes. The moon doesn't get to select how much of it is shown. The moon has to be patient in the job of waiting. So as we are keeping ourselves prayerful, keeping ourselves built up, keeping ourselves strong, you know, we have to be ready to move into for when God is ready to use us so that we can reflect to some poor soul that just lost their way, just not all the way there. You know, I ask for patience, I ask for guidance, ask for all of these things because I know that they're available. I know that God enjoys them. I know that God likes it when we express patience. I know God likes it when we are patient and kind to each other. I know God likes it when we are trying to reach the highest that he has for us. So as we're getting ready for this weekend, I'm going to be busy. I'm going to be busy planning for the future. I'm going to be busy being optimistic about the future because I really do believe that I have, and I know that if I have good things coming, that many, many others out there have good, positive blessings coming for them. So I'm staying hopeful that my blessings come through so I can continue to be a blessing for others. That's how excited I am about this upcoming future that we have for us. Okay? So, you know, I'm looking forward to being in those family traditions. I'm looking forward to being a part of. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the traditions that I have expand. I can't wait for people to call me asking me for their wisdom. Make me give you that wisdom. You need to write all those things down. My birthday is coming up at this time, and I'm going to get my wisdom from Mama 7. She's not going to deny me. So these are just wonderful, positive blessings that we have ahead of us. You know, I've been smiling for the past hour and a half. Not because I'm not exhausted. Not because the fast wasn't like a butt kicker today, okay? My fast was so rough, I couldn't even reach out to my lifeline and say the fast was rough. That's how rough it was, okay? None of that matters because I've made it to this point of the day, and I'm just thankful for being able to do that and thankful for having the lifeline to call if I needed to. And then being thankful that even though I thought I was on my way out, you know, I felt like Red Fox, you know, I was talking to Esther in the sky. It's the big one. I'm coming. Even though I didn't make it, everything was well. And it left me with a wonderful smile on my face. And I hope when I was in that line in Walmart and all those other people there looking crazy, acting crazy for Thanksgiving, that I was able to brighten somebody's day a little bit. A little bit. If so, I've done my job. So I want to, we got to get into our prayer. Important part. This is important. I want to get into the prayer for the day. The day I want to share Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is an important psalm to me. This is the first formal prayer that I taught Solomon. And Solomon had a prayer to learn. Talib had a prayer to learn. And Solomon, because he wakes up early, has always woken up at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. He was responsible for praying the day in. Talib, my night owl, was always responsible for praying the night out. And I got in between. So, you know, that I call myself giving them a duty of and getting them accustomed to praying for a house. You know, praying for not just themselves, but for a family. So, but this is the first prayer that I taught him. So, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen.